وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خيرا حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for all your duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in rank and shower his rahmah and blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight we had the fifth Taraweeh and we will be discussing the sixth para that was recited in the Taraweeh Salah tonight. After criticism of the hypocrites, mention is made of the Jews' transgressions, and because of matters of disbelief and misguidance, they are the brothers of the hypocrites. So among their many crimes, one was the intention to kill Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. However, Allah Ta'ala protected him and lifted him to the heavens in an honorable manner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also points out, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So bring faith in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. And don't say three, don't say trinity. إِنْتَهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. Just desist. It's better for you. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. And verily Allah is only one Allah. سُبْحَانَهُ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. He is pure from that he has any offspring. So after the Jews, the second group from the Ahl Kitab, the Christians, are mentioned. And one of the totally distorted beliefs was that Allah Ta'ala is not one, but made up of a trinity, that is a Father, a Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Christians are warned that they should not exceed the bounds in their religion, and they should not raise Isa alayhi salam above his original rank. They also should not say that Allah Ta'ala is three. When Isa alayhi salam does not feel any disgrace in humbling himself and worshipping Allah Ta'ala, but he regards it as his honor, then who are the people to regard him as Allah? So at the end of the Surah Nisa, there is a repetition of the topic with which the Surah commences, and that is to give due regard to matters concerning women, as well as the rights of heirs in matters of inheritance. Then we continue on to Surah Ma'idah. And because the incident of the Ma'idah, the tablecloth is mentioned therein, it has been given this name. رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. So this surah was revealed after the hijrat to Medina. From some narrations, it has been established that it was one of the last surahs to be revealed. In this surah, many laws pertaining to halal and haram have been mentioned, together with three other incidents. One speciality of the surah is that it includes that noble verse which was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam during Hajjatul Wida. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have completed your religion for you, and I have fulfilled my favor upon you, and I have chosen Islam for you as your religion. So in this verse, the announcement of the completion of deen is made. Allahu Akbar. This is that verse regarding which one Jew said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, O Amirul Mu'mineen, if this verse had to be revealed to us, we would have declared it a day of Eid celebration. He answered, I know the day very well, as the exact time when this verse was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was the night of Arafah and the day of Jumu'ah. It was as if we had two Eids on that day. Then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about assisting one another in goodness and piety, and not assisting one another in sin and disobedience. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So at the beginning of the surah, the people of Iman are commanded to fulfill every permissible pact and promise, whether this pact is between man and his creator or between two human beings. So thus, this verse also includes those commands which Allah Ta'ala has made compulsory on his servants, as well as all other dealings like buying, selling, partnerships, rental, marriage and oaths. So from this it is clear how much of importance Islam has given to fulfillment of pacts and transactions. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu awfu bil uqud. You know. So the prohibition of many edibles were announced, which were regarded as permissible during the era of ignorance, because by eating them, harm is caused to one's health, body, the thoughts, deen and character. Then Allah Ta'ala says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. So haram has been made for you carrion, flowing blood, swine meat, and those animals which are slaughtered on the names of deities besides Allah. However, in the case where one is compelled to, example, when there is a fear of losing one's life, of extreme hunger, then it is permissible to eat them. Besides these impure things, other pure and wholesome foods have been declared as halal. Then the laws of Tahara have also been given. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha qumtum ila as-salati faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq, till the end of the ayah, that when you intend performing salah, then make wudu. So Allah Ta'ala mentions his favor and kindness upon the Muslims, that he has purified them internally and externally by means of wudu and ghusl, a bath, so that they can be spiritually prepared to enter into conversation with him. From amongst the many favors and bounties of Allah Ta'ala on his servants, one is that when one does not have the ability to use water, permission to make tayammum has been given. This is because our Islamic Sharia is a very easy Sharia. Thus Allah Ta'ala has taken consideration of his servants' difficulties at every step. So in the sixth ruku of this para, Allah Ta'ala states, Allah Ta'ala does not wish to place upon you any difficulty, but he wishes to purify you and complete his favor upon you so that you can be amongst those who are grateful. Then there's the cowardliness of the Jews, their corruption, as always, their disobedience and pride that has been mentioned. And the purpose of mentioning these qualities is that we as Muslims should protect ourselves from imbibing within ourselves these qualities. So together with the Jews, the condition of the Christians has also been mentioned. A covenant was also taken from them to remain firm on the commands of Allah Ta'ala. But they broke this pact, due to which Allah Ta'ala had placed hatred and enmity in their hearts. So in spite of these two groups being involved in so many evils pertaining to faith, practice and character, then too that they claim that they are the children and beloved of Allah. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّهُ. So in refuting this claim, Allah Ta'ala says, if in reality you are the beloved of Allah Ta'ala, then why will he punish you for your sins? After the censure and refutation, they are called to the true religion and towards believing in the final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then in the eighth ruku, we are informed that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam first commanded the Jews to remember the favors of Allah Ta'ala and then encouraged them to enter the blessed land, Palestine. But these evil people, in answer to this encouragement, began mocking Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and said, اذهب أنت وربك إن هاونا قائدون. Musa, verily we will never enter it as long as the Amaliqi are there. You and your Rabb go and fight. We will sit here and observe. So they were such a rebellious nation until today. After mentioning the rebelliousness and disobedience of the Bani Israel in the ninth ruku, the incident of Adam alayhi salam's two sons, Habil and Qabil, are mentioned. Qabil, due to jealousy, because he wanted the wife of his brother, Habil killed his brother. This jealousy was also found in the Jews, due to which they denied the risalat of prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then in the 10th ruku, the command for the cutting of hands for male and female thieves has been given. So, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا بِمَا كَسَبُوا نَكَالًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That the thief, male or female, cut off their hands because of what they have earned. And this is a lesson from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. So, such a punishment is necessary through which others can take a lesson, nakalam min Allah. So, here this reality is given great importance, and such a severe punishment has been stipulated for these dangerous people that just by thinking about it, a person will refrain from such a crime, and such people who are proven to be a danger to society will not be even given an opportunity to commit a crime. So, by cutting off a few hands, understand this, there is peace and contentment for hundreds of thousands of people, then this is a small price to pay. I mean, why must you steal? The world today, which has become a spectacle of Jahannam, hell, with all the abundance of crime, is actually screaming out and calling for the implementation of Islamic laws. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the mentioning the laws of highway robbery, theft and corruption, two major groups of corrupt people are mentioned, the hypocrites and the Jews. The first group has been mentioned briefly, and the second group has been mentioned in detail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let not these people, those people put you into grief who hasten to kufr, who say with their mouths we believe, while their hearts do not believe. And those who are Jews spy to speak lies, and they spy for another nation who hasn't as yet come to you. Mention is also made of the misguidance of the Christians. They were given the Torah and Injil, but they did not pass judgment according to their scriptures. After this, the Muslims are prohibited from becoming bosom friends with the Jews and Christians because they are the worst enemies of the Muslim Ummah. So Allah Ta'ala says, O people of Iman, do not take the Jews and Christians as friends. They are friends of one another, as we see today. The one who befriends them from amongst you, then he is from amongst them. Verily, Allah Ta'ala does not guide the oppressive people. So we can see with our own eyes the living miracle of the truthfulness of the Quran, that in spite of severe religious and political differences, the Jews and Christians are united against the Muslims. The surprising thing is that the leaders of the Islamic world are very intimate with the Jews and Christians, despite the clear guidance of the noble Quran. And on their signal, these leaders oppress and harm, Muslims who are so-called, as they call them, fundamentalists, those who are aligned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when bosom friendship is made with the kuffar, then there is a fear of apostasy. In the following verses, the Muslims are warned to save themselves from irtidad, apostasy, because by it, all of one's actions become null and void, and the fire of Jahannam becomes compulsory forever on such a person. Together with this, we are clearly told that Allah Ta'ala's deen is not in need of us. If we become murtad apostates, na'udhu billah, then Allah Ta'ala will raise people better than us for the service of deen. So Allah Ta'ala says, O people of Iman, if any one of you, from amongst you, turns away from his deen, then soon Allah Ta'ala will bring such a nation whom he will love, and they will love him. They will be soft to the believers and harsh on the disbelievers. They will strive in the path of Allah, and they will not fear the criticism of those who criticize. This is the grace of Allah. He grants it to whomsoever he wills. And Allah is all-encompassing, all-knowing. Then together with prohibiting friendship with the Jews and Christians, the command has been given to make friends with people of true Iman. So in explaining the evil of forging friendships with the kuffar, Muslims are told that these people mock at the sha'air, the distinguishing features of Islam. Right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks again about Isa alayhi salam, and those that believed in him wrongly say, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Verily, those people are disbelievers who said that Allah is Masih ibn Maryam. Now look, when Allah Ta'ala refers to Masih, to Isa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala mentions ibn Maryam in the Quran. They don't think he's not the son of Allah, he is ibn Maryam. So some of them regarded him as one of the Trinity. So the Quran, in refuting their false beliefs, Isa alayhi salam and his mother used to eat food. Kana ya'kulani ta'am. So it is apparent that the one who eats food will be in need of removing waste from his or her body. And the one who is in need can never be a deity. Then in the last ruku, the reason for Allah Ta'ala's curses being afflicted on the Jews is mentioned, that they exceeded the bounds and they would not prevent one another from committing evil acts. And that is why, the Muslim Ummah is in actual fact being advised that they should continue enjoining good and forbidding evil. Otherwise, they can also be liable for Allah's curse, as was the case with the Bani Israel. And this was stated by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. So in one narration in Tirmidhi Sharif, it is mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when the Bani Israel became involved in disobedience and sin, then the ulama prevented them, but they did not stop. The ulama continued sitting with them in their gatherings and would eat and drink with them. Thus Allah Ta'ala made their hearts one, and they were cursed on the tongue of Dawud and Isa alayhi salam. Then in the final verse, and this verse I'm sure everybody has memorized it already, because Mufti Abdul Qadir quotes it, our Honorable Mufti Sahib, Damat Barakat, to whom so often, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. We are informed that the Muslims' worst enemies are the Jews and the Mushrikeen. The whole history of the Jews is proof of this claim of the Quran. However, those who are true and real Christians, they have a soft spot for the Muslims in their heart. Those Christians who we are coming across today are not in reality those Christians who practice on the teachings of Isa alayhi salam. Most of them have been colored with the dye of the Jews, controlled by the Jews. With regard to their thoughts and actions, countless of them are atheists and irreligious. They are only Christians in name. The remaining few practice on a distorted form of Christianity. True Christianity cannot be found anywhere. Well, anyway, that comes to the finality that inna deena indallahi al-islam, the deen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the religion of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on this beautiful deen. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.